So welcome everybody to the next edition of the Rare Business Growth and Marketing Podcast. With me today I have none other than Derek Williams, who you may have heard about if you're a follower of the blog. Derek runs the WOW Awards. Morning Derek, and welcome.
Good morning Adrian, thank you very much. Good to be with you.
You're very welcome, thank you. So Derek, first of all, before we sort of get stuck into some of the some more meaty questions, can you tell us a little bit about you, where you've come from, and you know what's led you to the WOW Awards?
Well, it's been a long journey, really. But I started working whilst I was still at school. I worked in retail. I then went into manufacturing. I pursued a career in finance, and over the years, you pick up little bits and pieces. You learn lessons. Being in finance, often within a big company, you tend to end up also looking after customer service a little bit. Some of the companies I worked with, if ever there was a problem with a customer, the first time it would show up would be that the customer was refusing to pay us. And so as the finance guy, I would be the one that would go out and try and find out what was wrong. So I gradually got sucked into this world of customer service. But also, I came out of industry to start my own business, which was actually going to be an accountancy practice. And I had one fundamental burning objective, and that was simply to create a place where people enjoyed coming to work.
Cool.
I'd had an interesting career. I'd reached my goals in terms of the positions I wanted to achieve. But actually, the last few years in those positions, I'd really not enjoyed what I was doing.
Right.
I was having to do a lot of things I didn't necessarily agree with. I knew that I was causing a lot of pain and suffering for sort of other people. And it was an incredibly difficult situation. And I felt that work shouldn't be like that. That if we're going to spend sort of 40, 50, 60 hours a week with a group of people trying to achieve a common objective, then work ought to be a place without fear. Work should be a place that you can come to knowing that you're safe, that other people are going to work with you and support you, and that you're going to be encouraged to do a good job. And that was my sole mission, was to create a place where people could feel safe coming to work.
That's fantastic. I mean, so is that what the WOW Awards are all about?
Well, this sort of objective of mine was just a starting point. And on day one, I was a one-man business. So it was a sort of a few weeks before I took on my first employee. And I had this goal clearly in my mind. And I think it came out of the fact that I'd felt pain. The majority of what we do is determined by the pain that we feel or the fear of pain that we have. And I'd felt pain. So I was absolutely passionate about this idea of creating a decent place to work. And as I took people on, that philosophy was absolutely central to everything that we did. So as far as I was concerned, nobody ever made a mistake. If something went wrong, it was something we could learn from.
Right.
And the problem was not with that person. The problem was with our procedures and our processes. So we don't have a witch hunt. We don't beat somebody up. We go back to our systems and we say, right, what went wrong in the system? Let's correct the system. Let's learn from it and let's move on.
Can I just interrupt there? What I find really interesting about that is that there's many people talk about that in terms of, oh, it's only a learning opportunity. There's no such thing as failure. It's only a learning opportunity. And, you know, people, it's whether it's personal development or positive thinking or whatever it might be. But actually, there's a lot of talk and very little real action.
Mm.
Do you think it's more about, it's less about the talk and more about the values that you have and the culture that you built?
Well, I think one of the difficulties you see is that most bigger organizations, the culture is already fairly well set. Mm-hmm. And so if you go into an organization like that, you've got an uphill struggle to try and change that culture. For me, it was different. I was a one-man band on day one. It was a few weeks that went by before I took on my first employee. So I had the opportunity to start from scratch. And everything that I did, I wanted to do it in such a way that I created a little system that could be passed on to somebody else. So this is a tiny accountancy business. And obviously what you've got to do is you've got to prepare accounts, you've got to do tax returns, you've got to answer the phone, you know, you've got to do all those basic sort of things. Mm-hmm. And I thought, right, everything that I do, I will create a little system for. Right. Because then I can follow that system and anybody else can follow that system as well. So we started creating these little systems. But part of that package of systems was I set out some rules that we were going to live by.
Right.
And the rules were things like we're all equal in this business. Like if you're making a cup of tea for yourself, then please make a cup of tea for everybody else and we'll all take turns in that. Mm-hmm. We're share the washing up and the clearing up at the end of the day. If you spot a problem, then your responsibility is to either resolve that problem or pass the problem on to somebody else who can resolve it for you.
Yep.
So we don't leave things.
Yes.
And it could be a simple thing. It could be cigarette butts on the ground outside our front door. You don't leave it. If you notice that that's a mess, and obviously that's going to damage the first impression that a customer might have, you either pick them up or you tell somebody else who can do something about it and we get it sorted.
Sure.
So the focus was on trying to create this environment where people were fairly treated, that we felt equal, that there were some sort of systems to guide what we did. But I also wanted to give people freedom. So one of the little processes that I set up was that if ever there was a problem for a customer and that problem came into the office, anybody in the office had the authority to do whatever they thought was right to resolve that customer problem.
Right.
Because if I was going to be running around the country trying to drum up new business, talking to new customers, I couldn't be in the office trying to deal with all the problems that might come in.
Mm.
So every single person had the authority to do whatever they thought was right. Now, that might mean writing a letter of apology. It might mean sending out some flowers or some wine or giving the customer a refund or offering to do work again for free, or maybe even just referring them to somebody else that might be able to do a better job than we could.
Mm-hmm.
It was whatever they felt was right. So everybody could work together under this umbrella, knowing that they wouldn't personally be penalized, that they'd got the authority to do what they thought was right. And that focus on our own people, what I didn't realize when I started it, would have a ripple effect into our customer base. And we just started getting a fantastic reaction from our customers.
Splendid. That's great news. And now that's all been, and is that what you've taken on and you've packaged up as the sort of the you've taken that learning, as it were, and packaged it into being something which is now the WOW Awards.
Yes, in a sense, there were a few key elements along the way. Like to start with, I could see that it was important to have this internal focus on the people working with me. But there were some other little things. Like back in the early 80s, I worked with an American guy. And he had some what seemed like rather strange ways at the time. If he thought you'd done something particularly well, he would wait for an opportunity when your colleagues, your peers, your manager were around, and he'd make a special point of coming over to you. He'd give you a little punch in the arm, and he'd go, "Attaboy." You see, and the aspects in the early 80s thought this was a little bit cringy. But actually, if you got one of these little punches on the shoulder and this attaboy comment, and it explained to everybody what it was that you'd done good, you felt really good about it.
Yes.
He'd actually caught you doing something right. So when I started my little business in the which was the mid 90s, I reflected back on this and I'm thinking, well, that was actually quite a neat little idea. I think I'm going to have something like that. And we created a little system. We called it Attaboys. And every week at the end of our team meeting, people within the business could nominate each other for this Attaboy.
Right.
And if you got nominated, obviously the story was shared between everybody. Your business card got put into a hat. So every meeting, every team meeting that we had always ended on a high because we were sharing this good news. And then at the end of each month, we'd pick out one business card at random and it would be a couple of cinema tickets or a meal for two or something like that. And I started to understand the importance of catching people doing things right.
Right.
Really, that was the start of the WOW Awards.
It's a fundamental thing about it's about recognition, isn't it?
The recognition is everything. And I think as business owners, we're out there chasing silver bullets and forgetting the fundamentals. And I remember reading an article once in the Harvard Business Review. I forget the name of the two professors that wrote it. They were British professors. And they talked about creating followship. And the three essential ingredients of followship were to create a sense of community.
Right.
To give individual recognition and to keep the buzz going. And I think if we look back or look outside of business and you think of perhaps a military example of that, you could look at something like the Dunkirk spirit, where if you go back to the Dunkirk incident, hundreds of people putting themselves at risk for no real reward, but because they were passionate, they were bound to a common cause, you know, setting out in little boats that really weren't terribly seaworthy to go and rescue our troops. So huge community spirit. If you look at the way the military recognizes achievement, it's through a piece of tinware that's worth nothing.
Mm.
But years and years later, you will still see soldiers proudly wearing their medals.
Yes.
And then keeping the buzz going. Well, how do we make this happen on a regular basis?
Sure.
So I was bringing this thinking together, and at the same time, this would have been about 1997, I was incensed with this watchdog mentality that we were developing.
Yes.
We're pumping out negative media on a global scale.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd seen the decline of manufacturing. I knew that we'd got to try and attract new investment to this country. But if we're going to constantly pump out messages such as rip off Britain, we're not going to bring that investment in.
Indeed. And so is the WOW Awards, in a sense, is it just a way? I mean, I guess it seems to me that it's both a thing where it's multifaceted in a way. It's like different people, different companies will use it for different reasons. One could be that they want to use it as an employee engagement sort of tool,
yep,
and a recognition tool. Some people might use it as a almost a way of getting customer sort of engagement and feedback.
We didn't realize at the time of starting this, or I didn't realize where this would go. My sole intention, I'm sorry if you're getting a little bleep on the line. That's my laptop reminding me of things. But my intention at the time of starting this was based on the fact that I didn't think that we would get better by constantly being critical.
Sure.
I felt that the only way to raise standards of customer service and attract visitors to the UK, and essentially investment follows tourism. We've got a fabulous country here. We've got temperate climate, liberal attitudes, freedom of speech. It's a safe place to invest. If we can attract tourism, we attract investment. And we will only get better in terms of customer service if we aspire to be the best.
Yes.
So rather than slagging off a few examples of really poor service, why don't we try and highlight the really good bits?
Well, indeed.
And the only way I feel that you can do that is not through sort of self-entered award programs where people just talk about how good they are, but you go to the voice of the customer.
Yes.
And you start encouraging customers to say what they really like about businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how the whole WOW Award started. But I didn't at the time realise what an impact it would have on things like employee engagement, employee retention, motivation, how it would be contagious within an organisation, how people might start to compete to get the WOW Awards, how it could be used as part of an organisation's marketing.
Yes.
Because it would start to differentiate them, how it could be used in terms of employment, uh-huh. how people might start looking out for new employees who have worked for a company that's used the WOW Awards, because that has a certain, credibility or kudos with it, yes. And I didn't realise either what sort of organisations would take this up. I thought it might appeal to retail and hospitality.
Yes.
But essentially, it's working wherever people work.
It's fantastic. I mean, it's actually quite. It's a very different, rather, approach to the whole feedback loop and voice of the customer, because it's quite democratic.
Well, yeah, but it's not different, is it? It's different for business, because I think as businessmen, we've all got to have a bit stuck up our own backsides to an extent.
Insert the bleep later.
Yeah, but you know, it's almost like if we can't do it in a complicated, detailed, analytical way, then it's got no value, and that's absolute rubbish. The example I always quote is, if you were teaching a child to ride a bike and the child falls off, what you do is you pick them up, you confuse the nerve endings of the injured piece of the body by rubbing it vigorously. you tell them how close they were to success, and you get them back on the bike, even though you know that they may fall off again.
Yes.
Contrast that with if the child falls off the bike and you pick them up by the scruff of the neck and you give them a clip round the ear and you tell them how stupid they were.
Yeah.
What sort of difference might that make to the final outcome?
Oh, it's huge.
So I think this is just such basic psychology. You encourage your children by catching them doing things right. You create merit badges. You have little charts where people can collect gold stars. So at a very early age, we ingrain this to our children. Then we go into business and we spend our business life catching people doing things wrong.
Sure.
You were 5 minutes late today.
Sure.
Like we've had situations where we've seen, there was one particular case where a guy was almost on his final written warning for consistently being late. Every day he's coming in late, 5 or 10 minutes, he's rushing in, gasping. There's a good excuse every day, but the company's getting fed up with it. Then they introduced the WOW Awards. And guess what? The same guy that's always late starts winning more WOW Awards than anybody else.
Yeah.
And you start thinking, well, actually, maybe within his character, he's prepared to spend a little bit more time with people.
Yes.
And get a first-time resolution and make sure people are happy. In fact, send them away delighted. And maybe it's that same personality trait that also causes him to be late in for work every morning.
Yeah, because he can't. Stop sort of.
Well, he's probably solving his kids' homework, or you know, getting their packed lunch ready, or waiting with them at the bus stop. It could be all sorts of things, but there's something in him that makes him special. And as management, rather than capitalizing on that, what we're doing is we're beating him up because he doesn't get to work on time.
Yes, indeed. So, I mean, I think it's you're absolutely right. It's like it's focusing on the things that we do well, not necessarily not just the things that we do badly. I mean, it's you've been doing the BOI awards now for over sort of over 10 years now.
Yeah, I think it's focusing on doing things right from a customer's point of view, though. That's probably the real, I don't know, the real tipping point in this, if you like.
Well, I think that's absolutely right, because if you don't do it from a customer, you know, if it doesn't improve the experience of a customer, then it's like, well, why would you do it?
Absolutely.
Because that's the whole rationale for being in business, is to, you know, to serve a customer's needs.
Yep. If you get it right for your customer, they come back, they tell other people. It's a very easily adopted formula.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, in your experience, though, I mean, you've been in this, banging this drum, sort of, you know, singing this song for over 10 years now.
Mm.
But does it feel like the whole customer experience, employee engagement, the voice of the customer, all of those type of issues, do you feel that is rising up the agenda in the UK for large as well as smaller businesses?
Well, I think it is. I think the UK has gone through through periods of change that have had certain effects on how we do things. So I think if we were to go back, let's say we go back about 30 years, when a fairly large proportion of the high street were family-run businesses,
yep,
then things like customer service training weren't quite so important, because those skills tended to get handed down from generation to generation.
Yes.
And because it was a family business and it was important to everybody in that business, they knew their customers. They took time with their customers to understand what they wanted. So I think that we actually had a period where we were giving pretty good service.
Yes.
And then we went through the sort of the retail revolution and the contact center revolution and all these other things. And we lost our way a bit.
Yes.
But I think it's coming back.
And do you think that's, you know, well, why is that, do you think? I mean, is it that that we are starting to, you know, refine more of our, we want more of the personal sort of touch in our, in the way that we do, you know, do business? And is there, are things like, you know, social media sort of accelerating that? I mean, what do you think? What are the things that are making a difference?
I said earlier on how I think the majority of what we do is determined by pain or fear of pain.
Yeah.
And I think that one of the transformations that we've been going through is in terms of communication, how we communicate, how quickly we can communicate, and how we can spread the word to an enormously large group of people. So the introduction of internet, email, then the social media channels, it means that a business can very quickly become famous for the wrong things.
Yes.
I think we've all seen the YouTube film for the guy that had his guitar broken.
Yeah, United Breaks Guitars.
Yes. So even if you're not a United passenger, the chances are that you've seen that advert. And of course, the impact that it can have on that organization. They're now much more famous for breaking guitars than they are for flying airplanes.
I know.
So suddenly businessmen are actually starting to think, hang on, this can really hurt.
Yes.
This can damage our share price. It can damage our reputation. The whole business could be potentially sunk if we don't get this right.
Yes, it's a bit like that concept around, what is it, you know, the customer complaints iceberg idea?
Yes, yeah.
But it's almost as if, like, technology has taken that from being just about word of mouth, i.e. one person. For every one person that makes a formal complaint, there are 10 people that don't, and then each one that has a potential gripe, they'll tell five other people, who'll tell five other, so on and so forth. But that five other people has turned into, you know, 50 or 100 via technological sort of means.
It's millions, and if a customer is really angry, if they've broken your guitar, you will use the talents that you've got, i.e. as a musician, and you probably know somebody that can do a bit of camera work, and you will produce a compelling message that is really going to hurt.
Mm. And in a way, it's quite interesting because, you know, you talk about, you mentioned earlier about there was a way that we used to do business, and I call it sort of doing the business in the way that my mum and dad used to do business.
Yeah. Family-run businesses, really.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, if you wanted to find something, you would, or you wanted to think about starting to think about buying something, you would wander down the high street, and then you would, you know, or you would lean over your fence and you would ask people.
Yes.
And you would take on, you know, advice and information and things. And so, but it's like Google has now become our high street, as it were.
Absolutely.
And
we Google absolutely everything, don't we? Like, if I'm sitting in the pub and I hear a piece of music and I can't remember what year it was, I Google.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I think the interesting thing is that what it's all this, the openness is doing is it feels to me like many companies are, it's making them set up and pay attention. It's almost that they've got lazy and the technology is giving them a bit of, when they do something bad, but also when they do something good, but more importantly, when they do something sort of bad, is that it's giving them a bloody nose.
Yeah, I don't think they were necessarily lazy, but I think that they felt that they were invincible.
Ah, I think that's you know, that's very true. I think there's a thing
that they could get away with things.
Well, absolutely. Here's the theory that I have is that I have this idea that talks about there's a hole in my bucket syndrome, I call it. Where you have companies that are primarily focused on putting more water into their buckets.
Yes, yeah, than stopping the holes.
Rather than fixing the holes.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the idea being, we know we can get more water, and we can put more water in faster than we're going to lose water. So therefore, everything's going to be okay. But I think the interesting thing is that equation, i.e. this old traditional sort of marketing equation, that's breaking down.
Mm.
And so people can't do the whole, if we have a big marketing budget, we'll just speak the loudest in the most places with the greatest frequency and therefore we'll win.
Yep.
That relationship is breaking now. And people are having to start thinking about, well, why don't we fix the holes in our bucket? And they're absolutely. Like, oh, that's quite hard. How do we do that? As people talk about loyalty and retention and all those sort of things, but actually what I find is quite interesting is that they talk about it in terms of numbers rather than actually relationships.
Yep.
And I think that's where I think this is the interesting thing I found about the WOW Awards. WOW Awards is all about relationships. And that's the thing, whereas we've got the companies are starting to wrestle with, I think, is how can I move the way I do business from being very much a process or system, almost scientific way of doing business, to being something which is a bit more human.
Absolutely.
But then you've got people that are going, well, I'm looking at this dashboard and I'm like going, the dashboard is not telling me how my business is feeling.
No, but customers can tell you how they're feeling.
Well,
and
exactly.
That's what the WOW Awards is doing, really.
Exactly. And I think this is for me, and this is why I get quite excited, is like this is where the real revolution is, as it were. It's about putting the relationship back into the heart of business. And I think the WOW Awards is a fantastic sort of example of how that can be done by, you know, giving people, customers, and also internal customers and external customers, giving them a voice to say, you know, it's not about filling in a form. It's like, if I see something which I think is good, it doesn't matter. It's not about if you think it's good or somebody else thinks it's good. If I just think it's cool, then I'm going to nominate somebody.
Mm.
And it's just because they did something that fixed something for me or helped or stood out for me. And it's a very personal thing. And it's not about somebody's scale of 0 to 10 and am I satisfied or extremely satisfied or all that sort of stuff. It's very personal, and I think that's brilliant.
I think one of the things that as business people we did get wrong, though, was that we prepared ourselves for customer complaints. And again, probably based on our fears, we had a fear that customers would complain, so we created systems for those. But looking back, I can remember, for instance, the introduction of ISO 9000.
Yeah.
And these quality systems, in order to comply, you had to have a feedback mechanism. And I think that what business people overlooked was that customer feedback could be much more than complaints.
Yeah.
So they prepared themselves for complaints, but they didn't prepare themselves for compliments.
Yes.
Because they had no fear of compliments. So if a customer took the time to write in and thank people, often that compliment would get overlooked.
Do you think, here's an interesting thing, Derek. Do you think that's quite a British thing?
I think it's a pretty global thing, actually. I think the British have some certain personality traits. We're not very good at blowing our own trumpet, perhaps not as good as the Americans. But from what I can see, because we're now working with organizations in the United States as well, I don't think it's necessarily unique to Britain.
Right.
But I think we were driven by our fears. So we would get complaints coming in and we would run around beating up people over those complaints. And this is just like the riding the bike example.
Yes.
Okay, complaints do still have enormous value. And if we take our customer service seriously, we want to deal with those complaints. But what I didn't appreciate until we launched the WOW Awards was how enthusiastic customers are for saying thank you. Yeah. And what they want to do is they want to say thank you in a way that gets to the boss.
Right.
So if for instance, you've gone into a hotel and you've had great service from that receptionist, you could say thank you to that person. You could leave them a tip, but that's not always terribly appropriate. What you really want to do as a customer is say thank you in a way that their boss gets to hear about, because that will then reinforce that behavior.
Yes. You want to say something in the knowledge that it matters.
Yes. Because as a customer, you know that if you can encourage or if you can reward that behavior in some way, then you will get more of it next time you go back.
It's interesting because it works in two ways, really. So it's almost like you're trying to really recognize when something gets done, but you're also what you're recognizing is that traditional sort of methods of feedback and things aren't necessarily in some people's eyes they're not effective, and that's why people don't fill them in
So there's no point putting a 100 question feedback form on somebody's pillow. They're not going to bother filling it in. By the time you've collected and compiled all those statistics, the thing is so diluted as to be almost meaningless. But if a customer can just simply go to a website or fill in a little form and essentially say, I'd like to nominate this person. This is what they did for me. This is how it made me feel.
Yeah.
That's all you need. And then just give some recognition to that individual. And the WOW Awards is just a certificate. It's not money.
Yes.
It's not boxes of chocolates or bottles of wine. Because once you've had your third box of chocolates, the last thing you want to do is win another box of chocolates.
Well, I don't know. Have you been to Montezuma sort of chocolate shops lately? I'll tell you what.
Well, I could probably manage more than three over a period of time. But but they lose their impact. What has huge impact is receiving a certificate that you can perhaps display in your office, that you and the rest of the people in your department can start collecting your certificates together.
Mm-hmm.
You can then start competing with other departments.
Yes.
And the whole focus now has shifted totally towards delighting your customers.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Reminds me, there's somebody who's done something different with set up there. A similar sort of like thing, but it's an internal sort of thing, but it reaches out to their customers. But at London, at London Midlands.
Oh, okay.
Do remind me, and I'll connect you with them because it might be a good conversation. Yeah. That's brilliant. I mean, it's So, Derek, I mean, just conscious of time, is where next? I mean, before you achieve sort of world domination, obviously.
I don't know. it's an interesting question, really, and I'm not really sure. What I know now is that this works wherever people work. Yeah. We're working with, in the public sector, we're working with local authorities, we're working with the NHS, we're working with police forces and housing associations. In the private sector, we're working with manufacturing companies, including chocolate manufacturers. We're working with utilities, with retail. There are only a couple of things that all these organizations have in common. One is that they employ people.
Mm-hmm.
And the second thing is that these organizations want to be the best.
Fantastic.
So there are certain names that you could probably think of, perhaps shops on the high street, that you know have got an absolutely appalling customer service reputation.
Yes.
Those guys are just never going to come knocking at our door. And that's part of the beauty of this country, is that everybody is free to set up and do business in the way that they think is right.
Sure.
But what we are doing will appeal to those that want to be the best.
What I'll do is I will put all the links and everything to the WOW Awards and everything else sort of below. Fantastic. And with this podcast.
Yeah.
One final sort of question. I mean, the WOW Awards is not just for large companies, though, is it?
It's working in all sorts. There are some little tiny businesses that are using this that are one-man bands or just a handful of people where they're passionate about giving great service, and it's working for them. And at the other end of the spectrum, we've got organizations that are employing thousands and thousands of people, and it's working for them. We've set the company up as a not-for-profit company, so the integrity is there. Organizations need to be confident and comfortable that our brand can sit alongside theirs, because they've got to invite their customers to make the nominations.
Mm-hmm.
But it's working in all sorts. It's working in contact centers. We're even actually one of my sort of favorite examples at the moment is Love Film. Been in the news quite a lot recently because Amazon have now fully acquired Love Film, but we're getting hundreds of nominations every month for Love Film customers. These are British customers, and the nominations are actually for people that work in the contact centre at Love Film, and that contact centre is in India.
Wow, that's tremendous.
So it's completely turned on its head all of our traditional thinking about offshore contact centres.
That's tremendous. Wow.
So it can just go wherever people work.
So one final question, Derek. If I was to ask you, what would you like to shamelessly plug?
I can't think of anything really other than, I'm sorry, there's a telephone ringing. We'll get somebody to answer that. I think if you're serious about service, the WOW Awards is seriously worth having a look at.
Well, that's fantastic, and hopefully we can help spread the word a little bit more. Derek, thank you for.
It's my absolute pleasure, Adrian.
Yeah, it's a fantastic perspective, and some great sort of ideas and tips and thoughts, and I think some of the stuff that you're doing is fantastic. And I, for one, will shamelessly plug the WOW Awards as far and wide as I possibly can.
You're a star. It makes me remember, actually, I don't know whether you read the book by Ray Kroc called Grinding It Out. Ray Kroc was the guy that took the McDonald's business and turned it into the mega franchise that we now know.
Uh-huh.
And I remember Ray Kroc in this book saying, it took me 20 years to become an overnight success.
Yes.
We're 14 years in. We've only got another 6 years to go, but we're loving it.
Fantastic. Well, thank you, Derek. And thank you just for being with us today. And look forward to catching up with you soon.
Okay. Thank you, Adrian.
Thank you.
You take care. Thanks ever so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.